Well, first of all, good morning again to everyone that's on the call and those that are listening in at this time. I just want to share three things that I found that was just so pertinent to this moment in time that we're in right now. We often are going through so many difficult challenges in life, and it seems like we have so little to be able to combat what we're dealing with. But remember this, little is much if God is in it. Little is much if God is in it. And the other thing, faithfulness is heaven's badge of honor. So our faithfulness, not in having faith, just faith in what? Faith in Jesus Christ. Our faith in Jesus Christ is what we need. And so faithfulness is a badge of honor. And Christ is at the center of it all. So as we go through our day, know that Christ is in the center of it all, and our faith in him is what will carry us through. And little is much when he's in it. So let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for this brand new day, of this brand new week, of this brand new month of July, that you have brought us to the beginning of something brand new, Father. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for your faithfulness, your mercy, and your grace that you have given to us. We are undeserving, but Lord, you have shown out and you have blessed us in so many ways. You carried us over so many hills and through the valleys. And Lord, you brought us to this moment in time. Lord, we praise you in the name of Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, we ask right now that you would cleanse us and forgive us of all unrighteousness. That, Lord, you would purify our hearts. That you would just take out those thoughts, those fiery darts that try to confuse us and bring chaos into our lives and have us meditating on things we shouldn't. Lord, just bind up those spirits and those arrows of Satan and his demonic forces and allow your Holy Spirit to come on in today and have its way. Have your way, Holy Spirit. We welcome you to this service today, and we bless you and we praise you, Father, for your faithfulness and mercy toward us all. Oh, Lord, we pray right now that you would touch Jeanette as you bring forth your word, that your word would truly be dividing for us like you divide the bone from the marrow, Lord God. Let your word do what it does in us in the way that you want it to be done. So, Lord, we open ourselves up to you and ask that you come in and have your way. Bless Jeanette as she brings forth your word. Encourage her, strengthen her, decrease her specifically, and let your spirit speak through her. And as Tammy reads the word, bless her, Father. Give her the strength. Give her the courage. Take away any doubt or fear and allow her the anointing to fall afresh on Tammy, Lord God, and bring forth your word. And all that we'll hear will be new and refreshed and strengthened, Lord, because we are coming to hear from you. And, Lord, give us a heart to be doers of what we hear. We thank you for this service. We thank you for this time. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. And thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
If you would go to Matthew 26:14. Matthew 26:14. Can you guys hear me okay? Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Tammy, would you read verse 14 through 16?
Okay. I'm going to be reading in the NIV version. Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him over to you?" So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over.
We are going to take a look at Judas. And in taking a look at Judas, we're going to take a look at ourselves. A lot of us would say that we would never, ever betray Jesus, correct?
Amen. Yes.
We would say that there's nothing more important to you than him.
Huh.
You would say, I would give up everything to follow Christ, who's paid it all for me. But I want us to take a minute and reflect. Judas, for one, this doesn't happen overnight. Judas was one that was going to betray him. Jesus made mention of it. He knew it in advance. But did Judas know that in advance?
No. No, he couldn't have.
Judas considered himself a follower of Christ. He spent 3 years doing it, so that's the argument. Nobody goes around following somebody, giving up everything, not working, to follow Christ if they didn't believe at some time that this was the real deal. And we've discussed in time and over time and through several studies that Judas had a misunderstanding of what Jesus represented. He thought that it was going to be a kingdom set up on this in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Incidentally, it is, just not the way Judas thought.
Mm-hmm.
That caused Judas, you know, that kept him going. I want to ask today, what is it that's keeping you going?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What expectations have you set up inside of you that's keeping you going, that's keeping you, I'm gonna cast my lots on this.
Mm-hmm.
When I say cast your lots, I mean it could be a gamble for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if? What if what if Jesus wasn't who he said he was? What if the stories and the lies that were spun after the resurrection, that they came and got his body, and what if? But what do you have? What are your expectations? Why are you on this road?
Mm-hmm.
Anybody, feel free. Why are you on this road? Most of us would say, well, because we believe. But do you believe enough that whatever it costs is worth it? Are you really looking for something? Is your hope in what he offers enough for you?
Mm.
And when it doesn't come the way that it should come, is it still enough for you? I don't think Judas represents something so foreign. I don't think Judas is so far off. I don't think Judas is, wow, that evil guy. I don't think so. I think that Judas struggled with his understanding of who Christ is, and I want to start there.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes I think we lose sight of who he is.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Sometimes we seem to, if he's not acting like the genie of the lamp, we're not interested.
Say that.
That's kind of hard. That's a hard, today's a hard word.
Mm-hmm.
If Jesus isn't giving you what you want.
Yes.
If it isn't coming fast enough. If your circumstances don't look the way you think they ought to look. Because you said, I'm going to follow him, then where's the benefit? Why am I not living like a king? Why do I still have needs? Why am I still struggling? If he's not giving you what you want, do you still want to follow? Or are you willing to cash it in for somebody who's willing to give you what you want right now? So most people, if asked that question, would say, I'm willing to follow Christ no matter what my circumstances. I've learned to be content in all things. Have you?
No.
You can't say that because you haven't been tried in all things.
Exactly.
You know, maybe the things that you've been, you know, dealt with, but have you ever lost your job? Have you ever been homeless? Have you ever been hungry? You know, severely hungry.
And the Lord makes promises. He makes promises. He says that I will never leave you or forsake you. He said you will not find my seed begging bread. He says, give us this day our daily bread. He will take care of you. But is he going to take care of you the way you want?
Say that.
What if he doesn't?
What
if all of a sudden, you know, the person who could go eat at any restaurant every day of the week if they wanted to suddenly can't? Are you willing to cash in your walk with Christ when that's the way it looks? For 30 pieces of silver? Now somebody would say, oh, please, 30 pieces of silver. Oh, no, I would have never sold out. I think we sell out all the time.
Yes, we do.
I think we make decisions in our walk with Christ.
Yes, we do.
That we swap out what God is trying to direct us into for something we'd rather have right now. And even if we're looking at it isn't exactly right, that's okay. I'll just take this. Somebody is urging you, do not go to door number one. Just wait. There's going to be something after that. No. I'll just take door number one. Whatever's behind door number one is good enough for me. Now, you'll just say, well, those are just life decisions, Jeanette. You're making way too much of it. Am I? Because if we choose to go a way other than the way God has commanded us in life, did you not swap?
Yes, we did.
Did you not turn your back on him?
Yes, we did.
And say, well, I know you said this and I know you said that, but on this thing I'm going to go my way. I'm going to work 6 days a week. I'm not going to have family time. I'll get back to that later, but you know I love you, Lord. You know you're first in my life. I just got to take care of this right now. Or I just want this right now. I know that buying this Rolls Royce is going to be a burden, and it's going to require of me my heart. Why am I saying it requires of you your heart? Because what you give into, what becomes your priority, is your heart.
Amen.
But I want this car more than I want to follow Jesus. No, I would never say that. But look at the choices that you're making and the choices we've made. So Judas just comes out with it. What would you give me in exchange for this following Christ? Is there a price that you have? Can somebody come to you and say, I'll tell you what, you drop this ministry thing, I'll give you, what do you need? I'll give you $4 million. Is that your price? Would you immediately begin to start contemplating how you could use the $4 million? Somebody would say, oh, no, no. And I wouldn't really be abandoning Christ for when you're making too much of this. But you are. If God told you to do something and you are going to cash that in for money instead, what are you doing but turning your back? Now, can you be forgiven?
Yes.
Depends on if it's your whole heart. Judas lost in every way. Judas didn't come back from his decision. And often when we go down and we make decisions that are contrary to God's word, a lot of us don't come back from those decisions either. It's very simple. So I want us to align in our heart today with honesty so that we can really ask the Lord to examine your heart. Is there a price that could buy you? And don't think just because you've got salvation, so I can just go the other way anyway because I'm saved. He said he's married to a backslider. The Lord says when we start using his word to justify sin, that you might as well have been the one nailing him to the cross. And if you're the one nailing him to the cross, he says you will get the same punishment as those who did. So don't underestimate grace. When you make willful decisions to sin, there's going to be consequence.
Yes, Lord.
It's one thing to trip and fall and stumble and get up. It's something else to make a willful decision to not obey God. I think that's kind of where Judas found himself. He made it finally. But again, as I started out, did Judas get here overnight?
No.
No. How did Judas find himself in this place?
Over time, he didn't see that. He found that God was really not what he thought he was for him. So he thought that God would be restoring the Israelites back to dominancy and that he would be on top of this world. And God says he's not of this world. He's not about this world. And Judas was heartbroken because it was not what he was seeking, not what he wanted.
Absolutely. But if you want to see a person's heart, what did Judas trade Jesus in for?
Money.
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 And the whole time, he's like...
Yeah, I just put in 3 years.
Money.
That's right. Now, he was the one carrying the money, which gave him opportunity to steal. And he couldn't seem to resist to the nap.
So it's really about what you value. Like you said, the Rolls Royce, do you value having a Rolls Royce, or do you value Christ? What do you really value? What is most valuable to you? Is Christ more valuable to you than anything in the world? And if he is, then that's where your value is.
And your family can be too.
Yeah. Are they more important than Christ?
Right.
All day long.
Right. Right.
He comes back and he says, neither father, nor brother, mother, sister, brother. He says that for a reason. It's because we will replace Christ with about anything.
Right. Right.
And again, especially if things aren't looking the way we want.
Right.
We'll say we're a great Christ follower. I go to church every single Sunday. I do this, I do that. I work in the church. I tithe. Just don't mess with this area in my life. Just don't appear to be withholding blessings, because then I'm out. I'm out. I'm going to do what I have to do. And that's how often our heart is. But when does it show? When the fire's turned up. As the fire is turned up, what's really in your heart is going to eventually come out.
Cream rises it to the top.
I want to urge everybody this morning to really examine your heart and ask the Lord to bring to your mind if there's things that have taken his place in your life that you don't even recognize is more important to you than following him no matter what he says. There's compromises we make in relationships. There's compromises we make for others just so that we can get what we want. We don't care about the line that's being straddled that God's not pleased with. We put that part kind of on hold, and we continue down the road because God's not coming through fast enough. This is not an easy walk.
Amen.
It is a simple, but it is not easy.
Amen.
And every one of us are going to be challenged in areas all along life's way. Do you really love me, Peter, more than these? Do you really? Because we say we do, but when Peter's, you know, life was being threatened or he felt threatened, maybe not so much. Now, I'm going to skip over to something because the Lord keeps.
Go ahead. Holy Spirit, speak.
Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, who was a ruler.
Mm-hmm.
And he had been following Jesus, and he believed Jesus was the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
He's a believer.
Mm-hmm.
He's a believer that's doing something about it. He's following Jesus,
mm-hmm.
even if he has to keep it a secret because of the Jewish leaders and what they would do about it.
Mm-hmm.
But when Nicodemus came to Jesus, what did Jesus say? You must be born
again.
Again. Do you know unequivocally that you have been born again, or are you a believer? Do you know for sure that you've been born again? That which is flesh is flesh. That which is spirit is spirit. Why did Jesus answer that? Because Nicodemus said, I can't go back into my mother's womb.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't even understand. And of course he couldn't understand. The Holy Spirit hadn't even come yet.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm asking, do you, when you became a believer, were you born again?
Would you make that clear about being born again?
Did you, was your spirit replaced?
Mm-hmm.
Was your spirit replaced
mm-hmm.
by the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Come on, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Did that happen?
Mm.
Do you know for sure?
Mm.
If you are under the sound of my voice and you don't know, ask the Lord to come into your heart by way of the Holy Spirit and take over, that you want to be born again.
Yes, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, Lord.
None of the disciples could pull off discipleship without being born again. Let's start with the worst of them, Judas. What did Judas have to really combat the greed in his heart? What did Peter have to combat, you know, his fight or flight, interestingly enough, turn to fight immediately?
Mm-hmm.
What did he have to subdue the profanity and the rage that welled up in him as soon as he felt threatened?
Mm.
What did he have? What did John and James have to stop them from contemplating and even getting their mom involved, Jesus' auntie, getting their mom involved to come and say, hey, can my sons be on the side?
Hmm.
One on the right, one on the left. What was that again but self-glory and greed?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
But what did they have to fight that? They didn't have the Holy Spirit.
No, they didn't.
No.
It wasn't until that.
Jesus is speaking of this. You must be born again. You must be born again. Those of you who are believers but have never received the Holy Spirit, ask the Lord to give you his Holy Spirit.
Yes, please.
And let me tell you something, because it's taught often that upon believing, you're receiving. That immediately you receive the Holy Spirit. I'm here to say, I don't think so.
Mm.
Because I watched it happen in Acts.
Mm-hmm.
Philip went and preached to these people,
mm-hmm.
and they all became believers, and they were Gentiles, and then they sent for two apostles to come down and lay hands on them that they might receive the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A lot of times these people were becoming believers, but the apostles were laying hands on them mm-hmm. to receive that Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Am I saying you need somebody to lay hands on you to receive the Holy Spirit? No, I'm not. I'm saying ask.
Mm. Hallelujah.
Ask him for his Holy Spirit. Because
yes.
even after walking with Christ for 3 years,
mm-hmm.
we were valueless. We still couldn't pull this off.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't have control our greed, our anger, our need for power, our walk for glory.
Yes.
With his spirit, we have the ability now to fight it because you are no longer bound. We're not bound by the things of the flesh anymore.
Yes, Lord.
But you still have to willingly follow.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't, there's going to be consequences. Consequences that could have broken the rest of your days. Even though our Lord forgives, and even though he lightens our consequences, they're not the half of what they could be. We still have consequences just the same.
Amen. Amen.
So, I'm urging you to ask yourself, is there anything that you would trade in for your following Christ? Family, wealth, health. Have you ever been afflicted with, and you're willing, if he would offer such a thing, as humans, I think we all have these points.
Yes, Lord.
But when you're thinking of Judas, just think about, is Judas in me? Where is that part, that compartment within my heart that I did not relinquish to God? Did not, have not, will not.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank it's a hard word.
Yes, it is. It's a needed word.
If you are honest.
Yes.
And in the privacy of your own heart, and that aside, sometimes it's so important to hear the word because you're not in a position to start defending yourself and justifying what we do. You just let the Holy Spirit work within you. Another sign, another hidden area in our life is pride, the pride of life, the pride of the eyes. What does that look like? Anybody know what that looks like? How about, I won't be seen in any car but a Mercedes. How about that?
That's not true.
Shut up, Francine. And you say, well, it's a Mercedes because it handles better than everything else. Or it holds the road really well, and it's a perfect fit for me, and yada, yada, yada. But is, Lord, examine me. Is it really the pride of life? Is it really that pride that wants to be seen a certain way, admired a certain way? Sometimes these things are so deeply hidden in our hearts, we can't even find them. Anybody ask me why I drive a Mercedes, it's the same reason. It's always the same reason. Oh, I like the way it handles. Blah, blah, blah. I tried this, that, and the other, and I didn't like anything else. Blah, 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 blah. But I'm asking the Lord, examine my heart. Another way to recognize there's something hidden in there is if asked to give it up. How'd you feel about that? If you had an opportunity to really follow the Lord, which would mean, as he told the rich man, sell everything, give it to the poor, and follow me. Most of us right now, this very moment, says, oh, that's out the question. That is out the question, out of the question. Matter of fact, they will start thumbing through the Bible as fast as they can and find scriptures and say, oh, no, be prudent with your money. Hold on to it. They'll find everything Solomon has ever said on it.
Mm-hmm.
But when that's something that wells up in you at the idea of not having or not presenting.
And, we do need cars, but another way it can really set in, and for me, what I've been faced with is houses, mm-hmm. is where we live. Mm-hmm. And, well, we need a place to live,
mm-hmm.
And I've been, and I actually this morning, sitting in my place that God gave me with all of its flaws and all of it, and feeling like this is yours.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it to you. And it doesn't matter if it's old and it has a lot of, issues,
mm-hmm.
Because I've thought of it. Why didn't I get a brand new, mm-hmm. inside? I couldn't afford a brand new house. But, and I want, my house to look so beautiful inside and this furniture and all that. But that's not it. It's so easy, though, for us to justify it.
Amen.
To have this mausoleum, a beautiful house, mm-hmm. to show off to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what it's for.
Amen.
But it feels so gratifying when you listen to him. Then when I can't tell you how much gratitude I have right now.
Amen.
Because he gave this place to me. It's
mm-hmm.
mine.
Mm-hmm.
I hardly had any increase in my payment, but I was out looking at houses. And the prices just kept going up and up and up, but that's not what it's about. So I just am so thankful that I was able to recognize that. And that he showed me, because that the Holy Spirit, I'm allowing the Holy Spirit, at times I'm not, in making poor choices, but to guide me.
Yes.
And because I want to stay on the path.
Yes.
I want to stay on his path. You know. And something that I wanted to say, Jeanette, is, when you asked us to examine, were you really born again? Did you receive the Holy Spirit? And I started, my first instinct was no. Because for so many years, 30 years, more than that, I went off. I went to church, and I still, believed in God, but I made so many bad choices and mistakes. But then the Holy Spirit told me, yes, you did. And I know when I did, mm-hmm. and I know, but because of the choices I made and because of the way the world is and the things that have happened to me, it's not an excuse, mm-hmm. but I went off his road, his path.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a point where I prayed, God, get me back on the path mm-hmm. that you've destined for me.
Mm-hmm.
And he has.
Amen.
So how does that happen? He begins to fan
yes.
the Holy Spirit that yes. was within you,
yes.
that was aflame, about to go completely out.
Right.
Matter of fact, so encompassed in darkness, you would almost miss there was a flame.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So the
right.
Holy Spirit can be living in you, but there can be no evidence of it.
Right.
Amen.
So much darkness there.
Amen.
Because you have to give in. You have to listen.
Right.
You have to follow. Mm-hmm. And each little victory turns into a battle won.
Mm-hmm.
Each little victory. And next thing you know, you keep fanning
mm-hmm.
that little spark that he put in when you were 12. Keep
right.
fanning that.
Amen.
And then you've got a fire,
mm-hmm.
a fire mm-hmm. that is so consuming, you can't be anything but that.
Mm.
Eventually it burns out everything else
right.
if you give in to the Holy Spirit.
Right.
He will burn out those right. areas in
burn
your life,
out.
No matter how painful
Amen.
It is. First we have to face it. First we have to acknowledge it.
Right.
Then we have to
right.
repent.
Right.
And, oh, how the Spirit will begin. As Jeremiah said, oh, that is, it's wrapped up in my bones.
Yes.
That's what it feels
yeah.
like. It feels like so much a part of you that there's no separating
yeah.
the two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then he begins to give you more and more victory.
Right.
More
yeah.
and more victory.
Right.
And in those victories, what happens? You start going closer, and the things of the world begin to get
right.
further and further away.
Right.
Yeah.
You have to give in. First, you have to repent and receive.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
But then you have to give in to that Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to put yourself in a position for it to be fanned.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't put yourself in a position for it to be fanned, how will it be fanned?
Right. mm-hmm. covered in darkness.
Amen.
Wow.
So you don't just keep seeking out other people in darkness.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You don't make that your company.
Right.
People that are all trapped in all kinds of mayhem,
they,
and so are you.
They do attract. They do come to you, though.
Sure.
So you have to be.
Mm-hmm.
But if your spirit is being fanned
right.
supernaturally,
right.
and that fire is growing within you,
yes,
then the light will consume the darkness,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
and it eventually will begin to consume it in every area of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Then it will become noticeable that you're a child of God
mm-hmm.
and you're walking with Him.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
We have communion today. And we're going to do that now. If you have the elements that you need, just crackers and juice. If you don't, go get it now, because that's what I'm getting ready to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Daddy.
Yeah.
It's a thief.
There's a thief?
Just kidding.
I knew you were that time.
We're getting ready to acknowledge the work that was done on the cross that even puts us in a position. I was reading this morning about the bulls and the ashes of pork and all of this and that that they used to do. But what stood out to me this morning more than anything was how the temple had layers. And the outside layers were for, you know, the tabernacle, the tent. And the outside layer is where the priest could go to atone for sins and this, that, and the other. But the next layer, only a high priest could go. The next layer of this temple. This is our temple. Your body is your temple. It is now where the temple. At that time, it was a temple of building, a builded temple. But now we are called the temple. And there's a place called the Holy of Holies in you that only God is supposed to reside. Only His Holy Spirit is supposed to reside. It's not the way it was because Jesus paid this cost and there's a new covenant, a new promise. What are you sealed with that gives you the right to have your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? What are you sealed with?
His blood.
His blood. And what are you sealed with? His Holy Spirit.
Mm.
His Holy Spirit. That's why he said to Nicodemus, that which is flesh is flesh, that which is, you must be born again.
Mm-hmm.
That's what sets you apart permanently as a child of God. Believing is not enough. You can become a believer, but that doesn't mean you're a follower. Again, the demons in hell believe. But when he has placed himself in your temple, in the place that's called the Holy of Holies in you. There's a place that belongs only to God in you.
Mm-hmm.
And when His Spirit takes control and resides in you, you have the ability to quench it.
Mm-hmm.
You can ask for the Holy Spirit to come into your life, and He comes. And you'll be able to tell there's something different that's happening in you, and you're seeing that everything's beginning to slowly change, your value system, your moral system. It all begins to change. But you can Judas
mm-hmm.
at any time you want. And you can start rethinking this whole thing. That's what Judas did. And when Judas began to rethink it, there was a price. He was only willing to give so much, and if it wasn't coming through, I'm out. Judas hadn't received the Holy Spirit. Those of you who have the Holy Spirit, you still get to quench it if you want. You can spend 50 years with a flame that can barely be seen. It is so encompassed in the darkness that you have let in. Doesn't mean that he's left. It just means there's not much of a spark left in that much darkness. It's not permeating anything. It's not changing anything. The darkness is too great. But you can start to fan it. And fanning it is doing what you're doing right now. Reflect and obey and repent. As the Lord uncovers things inside, that places that you have displeased him in a mighty way. Repent. The Lord will forgive you, and he does, and he did. Now ask him to fan that spirit of his within you. Fan it within you. Let the Holy Spirit grow within you. And again, that comes by choices you're making every day. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the blood, he took the wine and he took the bread and he broke it. You know, that very night, he said, one of you was going to betray me. This was not. But there was betrayal in everybody's heart. Okay, Judas got paid. But there was betrayal in everybody's heart because the disciples took off running. And Peter watched from a distance as they crucified his Lord. But just say Lord out of it. Just somebody that he had walked with 3 years and was close to. And he stood by and watched from a distance, and when he was recognized, he denied him. So as we are all pointing to Judas, every single one of them fled. Because they really didn't have what it takes to stand.
Holy Spirit.
But now he's given us what we need to stand.
Right. They had the believing, but not the receiving.
Yes. Amen. So what do we have there? We have the Son of God who has come to earth, indwelling in man to overcome sin. God himself puts his spirit in man to overcome sin, since there's not a man on earth that can do it.
Amen. Wow. Amen.
Not 12 disciples. Nobody. With that comes a new covenant. And what we are doing right now is a reminder of the new covenant. Forget about the bulls. Forget about trying so hard. Forget about trying to keep the law. Because you can't. But the Spirit of God within you will begin to pull you closer and closer to his face, to becoming a changed individual. This is all because he put his spirit in a man. This is what he's done for us. He said, you can't make it, but I'm going to make a way that you can make it. So I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to take on your sin, all your crap, all your darkness, all your giving into evil. I'm going to take all of that on me once and for all. If you can receive this, you'll be saved. But if you're going to receive this, you also have to agree. You have to agree. If you want the same salvation, if you want the same rewards, then you must agree to suffer.
Amen.
You're going to share in the glory. You're going to share in the suffering.
Amen.
That's the deal.
Amen.
And I promise you, it won't be more than you can bear.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike him.
Mm-hmm.
That's the deal. So when you participate in this, I call it a ceremony,
mm-hmm.
remember what you're agreeing to.
Okay.
He took the bread.
Just break the bread.
Took the bread, he gave it to his disciples, and he said, take and eat it. This represents the covenant, the new promise that he gave. He said, I'm not even going to do this again until what's going to happen happens. And he did it again right after he resurrected. And that's where we are now. We're on the other side of his resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
Said, take it. Be mindful. Don't take it flippantly. Don't take it carelessly. Don't take it with sin in your life and in unforgiveness in your life. Because it can make you sick. He said some have already fallen asleep. Because they take it like it's no big deal.
Yes, sir.
If you have unforgiveness, if you have sin. And when I say sin in your life, who doesn't? No, when I say sin in your life, I mean you're practicing sin.
Amen.
Repent.
Amen.
Ask the Lord to forgive you and to help you. Don't let that be a reason not to take. What we're reminded to do often. But don't take it without repenting.
Yes, Lord.
Attitudes, uncorrected thoughts, how we waste and take the time that he's given us. There's a lot of things we can repent of. Take it and eat it. Remember, his body was broken. So that we'll have a resurrected body ourselves.
Amen.
As he did. Bible says he was the firstborn among many brethren.
Hmm.
We are the brethren.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Now we're related to him in the eyes of the Heavenly Father. We're all sons and daughters.
Amen.
And then he said, take. And he passed the cup around to his disciples. And he said to drink this,
yes,
and don't forget the blood that's being shed for you.
Yes.
Remember, my blood is your antidote. I'm the only one that has blood that is pure.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Let his blood wash us clean.
Yes, Lord.
Keep us clean.
Yes, Lord.
Restore us in the areas where we need restoration.
Yes, Lord.
Lift us in the areas where we're discouraged.
Please, Father.
Let your blood do what only your blood can do.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Thank you for the agony that you subjected yourself to on our behalf.
Yes, Lord.
Take and drink. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.
Any comments or prayer requests? Any comments or prayer requests?
There enough.
No? No?
Just thank you for the word. Thank you, Lord, for the word. And how we all have... what we value is what I pulled from all of this. What do we value? Christ more than anything else? And if so, are we serving him the way we value him? So thank you for the word.
And my comment is, at the beginning you said, what is going to keep you when those trials come?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the fire. It's the Holy Spirit. That little flame has to be so strong that you can just walk through these trials and this path that we're going to be on.
And it's not going to be walking. It's going to be pushing back the gates of hell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can't do that with a spark.
Right. Right.
Amen.
I know I have the Holy Spirit, but can't do it with a spark. It's going to take the force of him working in you
right.
to do what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Jesus' name.
Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, once again, we're so thankful that you have come into our midst. You have blessed us with your word and your spirit, your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Jesus, for it's all about you. And thank you for all that you've done. As we've taken up this communion today, Lord, you have fed us, you have washed us, you have cleansed us, and you delivered us from all evil, hurt, and harm, and all the evil forces that want to bind down your children. We thank you, Father, for you giving us a new beginning, and we praise you, and we bless you, and we acknowledge that, Lord, you are the Lord of our lives. So lead and guide us as we go from this moment in time and to the life that you have for us, and let us live it abundantly for you. Let us never forget the reason that we live is for you, Jesus, and to please you and to do your will. So help us, Jesus. Help us, Holy Spirit. Let your fire, your spirit, your Holy Spirit ignite in us and inflame to fight against the evils of hell itself and all of its demonic forces.
Yes.
So, Father, we thank you today. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. Lead and guide us as we praise you and give you glory and honor for those that are here and those who would like to have been here, that not, and those that will listen to this call, that your word would be a lamp unto their feet and a light unto their path.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Richard. You guys have a blessed weekend. Take care.